This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson, visiting KUOW Public Radio in Seattle, Washington. Back in the other Washington, D.C., that is, a remarkable day in American political history took place. Christine Blasey Ford testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee about an incident of sexual assault. She alleges that it happened at the hands of Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court nominee, when both of them were teenagers.
When I got to the top of the stairs, I was pushed from behind into a bedroom across from the bathroom. I couldn't see who pushed me. Brett and Mark came into the bedroom and locked the door behind them. There was music playing in the bedroom. It was turned up louder by either Brett or Mark once we were in the room. I was pushed onto the bed, and Brett got on top of me. He began running his hands over my body and grinding into me. I yelled, hoping that someone downstairs might hear me, and I tried to get away from him, but his weight was heavy. Brett groped me and tried to take off my clothes. He had a hard time because he was very inebriated and because I was wearing a one-piece bathing suit underneath my clothing. I believed he was going to rape me. I tried to yell for help. When I did, Brett put his hand over my mouth to stop me from yelling. This is what terrified me the most and has had the most lasting impact on my life. It was hard for me to breathe, and I thought that Brett was accidentally going to kill me. Both Brett and Mark were drunkenly laughing during the attack. They seemed to be having a very good time. Mark seemed ambivalent, at times urging Brett on, and at times telling him to stop. A couple of times I made eye contact with Mark and thought he might try to help me, but he did not. During this assault, Mark came over and jumped on the bed twice while Brett was on top of me. And the last time that he did this, we toppled over, and Brett was no longer on top of me.
Professor Ford also answered questions from the Senate committee and a sex crimes prosecutor from Arizona named Rachel Mitchell. GOP lawmakers hired Mitchell to ask questions on their behalf.
He actually conducted the polygraph not in his office in Virginia, but actually at the hotel next to Baltimore Washington Airport. Is that right?
Correct.
Why was that location chosen for the polygraph?
I had left my grandmother's funeral at Fort Lincoln Cemetery that day and was on tight schedule to get a plane to Manchester, New Hampshire. So he was willing to come to me, which was appreciated.
So he administered a polygraph on the day that you attended your grandmother's funeral?
Yeah, correct. Okay. Or it might have been the next day. I spent the night in the hotel, so I don't remember the exact day.
Have you ever had discussions with anyone besides your attorneys on how to take a polygraph?
Never.
And I don't just mean countermeasures, but I mean just any sort of tips or anything like that.
No, I was scared of the test itself, but was comfortable that I could tell the information and the test would reveal whatever it was going to reveal. I didn't expect it to be as long as it was going to be, so it was a little bit stressful.
Have you ever given tips or advice to somebody who was looking to take a polygraph test?
Never.
Okay. Did you pay for the polygraph yourself?
I don't think so.
Okay. Do you know who did pay for the polygraph?
Not yet, no.
Did you have the handwritten statement that you wrote out? Did anyone assist you in writing that statement?
No, but you can tell how anxious I was by the terrible handwriting.
We touched on it earlier. Did you know that the committee has requested not only the charts from the polygraph test, but also any audio or video recording of the polygraph test?
No.
Okay. Were you audio and video recorded when you were taking that test?
Okay, so I remember being hooked up to a machine, like being placed onto my body and being asked a lot of questions and crying a lot.
Democrats posed their own questions to Professor Ford about the assault and her memory of it. Here's one exchange with Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont.
What is the strongest memory you have? Strongest memory of the incident? Something that you cannot forget? Take whatever time you need.
Indelible in the hippocampus is the laughter, the uproarious laughter between the two, and they're having fun at my expense.
You've never forgotten that laughter. You've never forgotten them laughing at you.
They were laughing with each other.
And you were the object of the laughter?
I was, you know, underneath one of them while the two laughed. Two friends having a really good time with one another.
We're bringing you highlights from the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing with Christine Blasey Ford and Brett Kavanaugh, President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court. In a moment, we'll hear the president tell reporters that he would be closely watching what went on the Hill today. That's just ahead. Stay close.
This message comes from NPR sponsor ADT. America's trusted home security company can help protect you against break-ins, fires, and carbon monoxide. 24/7 emergency response when you need it most. More at ADT.com. Support also comes from the NPR Wine Club. Discover hand-selected wines from around the world. Learn the stories behind each one and enjoy unique bottles inspired by favorite NPR shows. If you're 21 or older, uncork a special offer at nprwineclub.org.
The president told reporters yesterday that he would be watching what went on today.
I'm going to see what happens tomorrow. I'm going to be watching. You know, believe it or not, I'm going to see what's said. So it's possible that they will be convincing. Now, with all of that being said, Judge Brett Kavanaugh has been for many years one of the most respected people in Washington. He's been on, I guess you'd call it, the second highest court. And every single person knows him. A lot of people know him well. And those people don't believe what's going on. I can always be convinced. I have to hear it.
Let's hear Judge Kavanaugh in his own words now.
I'm not questioning that Dr. Ford may have been sexually assaulted by some person in some place at some time. But I have never done this to her or to anyone. That's not who I am. It is not who I was. I am innocent of this charge. I intend no ill will to Dr. Ford and her family. The other night, Ashley and my daughter Liza said their prayers, and little Liza, all of 10 years old, said to Ashley, "We should pray for the woman." It's a lot of wisdom from a 10-year-old. We mean no ill will.
Brett Kavanaugh was brought into the hearing room after Christine Blasey Ford left. Here's how one exchange during the questioning of the nominee went.
The terrible and hard part of this is when we get an allegation, we're not in a position to prove it or disprove it. Therefore, we have to depend on some outside authority for it. And it just seemed to me then when these allegations came forward that you would want the FBI to investigate those claims and clear it up once and for all.
Senator, the committee investigates. It's not for me to say how to do it, but just so you know, the FBI doesn't reach a conclusion. They would give you a couple 302s that just tell you what we said. So I'm here. I wanted to be here the next day. It's an outrage that I was not allowed to come and immediately defend my name and say, I didn't do this, and give you all this evidence. I'm not even in D.C. on the weekends in the summer of 1982. This happened on a weekday? Well, is it when I'm not at a Blair High School for a summer league game? I'm not at Tobin's house working out? I'm not at a movie with Suzanne? You know, I wanted to be here right away.
Well, the difficult thing is that these hearings are set and set by the majority. But I'm talking about getting the evidence and having the evidence looked at. And I don't understand, you know, we hear from the witnesses, but the FBI isn't interviewing them and isn't giving us any facts. So all we have...
You're interviewing me.
Say.
You're interviewing me. You're doing it, Senator. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're doing it. That's there's no conclusions reached.
And what you're saying, if I understand it, is that the allegations by Dr. Ford, Ms. Ramirez, and Ms. Svetnick are wrong.
Yeah, that is emphatically what I'm saying. Emphatically. The Svetnick thing is a joke. That is a farce.
Would you like to say more about it?
No.
We will speak much more about today's hearing tomorrow on the Friday News Roundup, shortly after the scheduled vote on Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation to the Supreme Court. The recommendation from the Senate Judiciary Committee then goes up to the full Senate, and we should know what that recommendation is sometime tomorrow morning. We'll keep an eye on that. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thanks for listening, and we will see you tomorrow for the Friday News Roundup. This is 1A.
What does it take to start something from nothing? And what does it take to actually build it? I'm Guy Raz. Every week on How I Built This, I speak with founders behind some of the most inspiring companies in the world. Find it on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planet Money tip number 17. Sometimes the most important things need a hype squad.
Corporate.
Corporate.
Income.
Income.
Tax.
Corporate income tax!
Planet Money, a podcast about the economy. A very enthusiastic podcast about the economy.